Brad runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it gonna happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they gonna jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here for this week's Friday Morning GM with my co-host, Vas Larikos of Baltimore Beatdown. Vas, how you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to week four. Hope to wash that taste of the week three disappointment out of our mouth on Sunday.
You know, it would have felt a lot better going into the Browns game 3-0. The Browns and Steelers present very significant challenges for the Ravens, as injured as they are. That's something we definitely need to get to soon. But I guess the biggest news on the front office front is Kyle Van Noy signing this week.
Yes. Fortunate that he was still available in my mind. You know, he played 13 games last year as a starter, and he was apparently asking for close to $10 million when they signed Clowney. That's the rumor. Don't quote me on that. But now to have him on the practice squad for about $300,000 until activation start is certainly a beneficial development for, I think, for this team that they really need some help at outside linebacker right now.
Yeah, and he is a true Sam linebacker. In fact, you know, he's played some off ball too, so it's not as a one for one comparison here, but he's dropped to cover almost as often as he's rushed the passer in his entire career. So, you know, obviously a lot of time at New England, a little bit of time with the Chargers last year. He played at Detroit to start his career. But it, in particular, as a coverage player, he's really come on in the last few years to be even better. Still maintained a pretty good level of rushing the passer. And, you know, it's not in a ton of snaps. So his sack rate career is over 2%, which is nice. Bowser's is 1.7 and Clowney is 1.3 by comparison. So you're talking about guys who, you know, this is a guy who can rush the passer. It's not terribly surprising to me that he wanted a little bit more money. Pretty good run defender over the years. He's always had a pretty good total of defensive wins. So a very nice pickup. He was the guy I really wanted in the offseason of all the people they brought in. I've certainly said him ahead of Clowney, but Clowney's played very well, of course, for the Ravens.
Yes, he has. So to be able to have maybe the two best outside backers that were available to start training camp and you end up getting them both on the roster for a pretty reasonable cost, that's definitely beneficial. Van Noy seems like that consummate Bill Belichick, do your job kind of player. Mm-hmm. And he has that coverage versatility, as you mentioned. I also just really think they needed an edge setter coming into this game with Cleveland and their outside zone-based run game when you have hypothetically Clowney, Jeremiah Moon, and Tavius Robinson as your only pure outside backers, with Ojabo and Owe both dealing with ankle sprains or potentially even high ankle sprains. They needed that coming into these two straight divisional games. Cleveland and Pittsburgh are two, maybe along with Tennessee, or maybe the three teams that you least want to play when you're banged up, because some of the most physical football in the league.
Yeah, and of course, those are the next 3 weeks. It involves the travel to London and road games for the other two, so it's not an easy stretch for the Ravens by any means. I did think that they might try and get by with Harrison again, an outside linebacker for a week to maybe take a significant number of snaps. They hadn't used him much. I think he only played about 10 snaps the last 2 weeks, while they had a very significant need for him. But anyway, they really only have him on when they're in their base defense. So when they're in any kind of 4-2-5 kind of look with the nickel, they don't typically have Harrison on the field.
I expect we'll see quite a bit of Brett Urban and the base five technique coming forward here in this week 4 game.
Yeah, because it'll be a 12 personnel game from the Browns. I was talking about that with the Browns guy today, and it looks like from the snap totals as well, kind of corroborate this. They've only played about 25 or 30% 12. Now, that's not a small number, but it's not like what we might have thought of the Browns doing in the past, where they've had, you know, three tight ends. They're really rotating and playing two, you know, 50, 60% of the time sometimes.
Sure, yes. And they're using Elijah Moore in the slot quite a bit. But again, you know, I'm sure they watched the tape and saw Zach Moss getting the edge on the Ravens, and they're going to probe that weakness until the Ravens prove they can stop it, and Van Noy's a step in that direction.
Yeah, there you go. I agree with that one. All right, well, one of the other big things coming up for the Ravens this week is how they handle this very large group of injuries and the inactives. And I think we ought to just, you know, be clear up front that we're not privy to any special information. We're not insiders in this. We have to kind of piece together the information that comes through the media in terms of, you know, so-and-so's in a walking boot or this is going on and whatnot. Some guys restarted practice. It looks to me like Edwards is probably the most likely to play of that group. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree. Concussion is, once you pass the protocol, you're pretty much in the clear. It's not a rehabable injury, so to speak.
Yeah, so that's what I thought too. They've been talking about Bowser being on a separate field. He can't come back till week 5 anyway, so that's not even a consideration. And I think Justice Hill has already been working out on the adjacent field. So nice to hear those are going on. Nice to hear, you know, it sort of approaches practice. I don't recall what the rules are on IR for when you can start practicing as opposed to come back. So it's pop. You have a 3-week window to practice. Right. For IR, there might not be that.
I think you can practice. You have to sit the first 4 weeks completely out, I believe. And then, we'll have to verify that one. But I believe that's the whole purpose of the 4 weeks. And if you're ready in that 5th week, you can come back. But I think that's also the same, similar to PUP, where they have a 3-week window to sort of get in shape. A little nuance of the rule book there. But it's, you know, walking wounded. And John Harbaugh made the point in his press conference that, you know, people are just getting rolled up in piles at a ridiculous rate, you know, and you got every trench player that's injured right now are all lower body ankle injuries purely from getting rolled up one in the pile.
Jack Conklin is injured for the Browns. One of two serious injuries that they really have are Conklin and Chubb. But Conklin apparently was injured on a similar roll up where somebody pushed him across the pocket. And unfortunately, I think this is a byproduct of having kind of weak offensive line play. And Jedrick Wills was the one who did it from all the way on the other side, pushed his guy across the pocket into his legs. We have seen that in the past. That's how Ryan Stanley got hurt by James Hurst, right?
Yeah, that was the big one. We've seen it too much, and I don't think it's a technique issue necessarily. But if there's only so much you can do, I mean, you can change the strength and conditioning coach, you can monitor GPS, you can do all sorts of different things to try to remedy the situation. But people are going to get rolled up in piles, and you can't really do anything about it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like an accident risk, and if there's a way to lower it, it's not monitoring vitals of the players themselves. It would be something about, you know, when one legitimate question is there a point when you're an offensive lineman that you want to coach them to release their block, even if it means the quarterback's going to get hit, to not let an offensive lineman get rolled up on? And, right. I, you know, quarterback can take a fair amount of punishment in terms of hits in the pocket, particularly when they're getting sacked and turtling up. The ones that are really bad are quarterback hits that are taken as they're stepping into a throw. Those are higher risk situations, but nothing is as high risk as blocking somebody into the back of the legs of a fellow lineman. That's just the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Just something you have to deal with and move on and patch it together until your players are able to play. And that's why the Ravens have accumulated so much depth to hopefully get through this period.
All right, well, let's see if they can. One of the things that comes up depth-wise is that the Ravens had a chance to put their bye week after week five. Sorry, make that after week six, right? Because they go to London, and they could have had their bye week right then, which, by the way, with the Orioles season, wouldn't it be really nice to have that bye week sitting right there and the chance
that's
to,
true.
Yeah, to do all the ALCS and whatnot would be about then. But it's an opportunity they didn't take. And I think I understand some of the thought that went into this. But if you were taking a group of young men over to London and then gave them a bye week thereafter, it might have been something where the Ravens are concerned about where they might go, whether that's in the States, right, Amsterdam, wherever.
Stop in Ibiza on the way back. I personally have the mind that I always prefer the bye week as late as possible in the season. You know, you can't really predict when you're going to need a week. Do you have four or five guys with sprained ankles in week six, or do you have it in week 13? So it's currently set for week 13, the first week of December. For a team like this that's considered a contender, you always want to be peaking at the latest possible point of the season. So I personally thought that was a good move to defer the bye week.
Right. I do too. And I think not only is the injury component something which didn't happen to work out in the Ravens' favor this time around, if they had a lot of pup players, it would have. It might have been something they would have, you know, really considered. But they don't really. They just have one NFI guy who's coming back, as far as I know, Bowser, and no other pups, as they've had last year. They had a fair number of them. I think it was more of a maintaining focus after London, is that it's a crappy travel week, and you have some of that from any time you have to play on the road on, say, a Thursday. But I don't think it's any worse than that. I think the risk is that players become distracted and they're in another country and they want to go there with their families. And then when they do that, they get lost in further activities. And it's just harder to reherd the cats, so to speak, to get them back to practice and get them back focused on football again.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's going to bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here. You got to see this.
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. This is Joan.
Morning.
Joan is an owner-operator truck driver.
Yep, hauling some produce today.
She doesn't have the time to fool around.
Ooh, so true.
Joan traded up to GEICO Commercial Insurance for serious 360 coverage, not just for her truck, but for her cargo. She can even get serious savings for her inspection history.
So, where's the GEICO twist? Is Napoleon going to come out driving a forklift?
Bonjour!
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
Oh, no. Au revoir!
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
But from an aspect of keeping the team focused on, I think that's a very good point.
I guess one other point I want to bring up was about the current running back situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but this looks an awful lot like the last 2 years to me. Acquiring, or you know, they had Gordon already and he was already a backup, and you know, they didn't expect to make the team, he didn't, and then he hangs around on the practice squad and now he's needed, and then Kenyon Drake coming back again. Is there a deja vu all over again kind of feeling you're having?
I think so. I definitely think you can make that connection from Melvin Gordon to Mike Davis to Latavius Murray, pretty similar style players. The Gordon acquisition was an eyebrow raiser for me when it was made. Just didn't see any upside there. And the issue, I think, was perhaps, this is speculation, they didn't realize that Dobbins was needed maybe or was going to hold in. And that's when they made that move. And by the time they made that move, most of the other young running backs were already latched on because that was while the roster were expanded. And to DaCosta's credit, I mean, he went out and got Keaton Mitchell, who's probably one of the best UDFAs that was available this cycle. But unfortunate timing of when the injuries occurred, and then Mitchell has to go on IR, and then you need him before he's back from IR, before he's eligible to come back from IR, because Hill, your other explosive back, was also lost. I do think Drake still has a little bit of juice, as he showed on that catch and run before he fumbled. It's just one of those things where I think you just kind of have to tough it out. I would anticipate that Mitchell will be reactivated in time for week 5, and Gordon will be jettisoned, because at that point he will be out of P-squad elevations.
Yes, and that's a good point. They certainly don't want to I think they get paid for an acquisition, for a active week that week that they're on the roster. But Gordon, the Ravens are safe from playing him for a full season anyway, so I guess they could put him back on the practice squad and have him around participating for a while. He won't have elevations left, but he could be activated at some later point. But I agree with you. I think Mitchell's going to step in and have a pretty big role right away.
Yeah, they need that juice and to be able to threaten that edge. You know, explosive plays, especially in week 3, we're not where you want them to be.
Duvernay not getting the opportunities in the backfield after he got a pretty good set of opportunities against the Bengals, and did last year against the Bengals as well. But
yeah, 3 carries in week 2.
Yeah, so why not? Why shouldn't we see Duvernay for some of these opportunities when the Ravens are so short on running back depth?
I anticipated that, set my fantasy football lineup with that in mind, and I was surprised that they did not see that, for sure. Because he gives you that, and he can replicate a lot of what Justice Hill can do. So, you know, I think really looking forward, once people get back healthy, Gus is kind of your lead back, workhorse, big man. And then you basically have, you know, speedier, more elusive backs filling out the rest of the core. And I think that can be effective, but you need to have those speedy elements return for that to work.
Yes. And you know, the Ravens, they have kind of an embarrassment of riches in terms of speed guys on the offense that could be plugged in for Monken. They have really 4 guys, if you include Mitchell injured, Hill injured, right. Duvernay not being used, which is really unfortunate. And then Flowers, who's getting all the workload, but it's, you know, with an ADOT of 3.5 and a long catch of 8 this last week, it looks like a lot like 2021 Marquise Brown down the stretch, you know, being just super underutilized in terms of getting opportunities down the field or peeling that safety off the defense and getting other people opportunities. Either one would be fine.
I completely agree with that. I heard you make that point on an earlier podcast this week. And yes, Flowers needs to have a average depth of target further down the field. I don't see another way to really maximize this offense. Also need to get Bateman more involved. And some of that may be a product of the offensive line injuries. And I think some of it is also a product of not playing at all in the preseason. And when you have a new coordinator, I think that's the time where you probably need to put a couple drives together.
Yeah.
But that's water under the bridge at this point.
Yeah. Maybe not for next year though. So we'll, you know, it's okay to kind of poke the bear a little bit and complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, anything else from a front office perspective we need to talk about this week?
Just one other item I thought with Tylan Wallace going to injured reserve. Another, just they keep mounting. You know, neither Beckham nor Bateman practiced on Wednesday as we record here Thursday early afternoon. That leaves you with 3 receivers healthy. You know, Zay, Duvernay, and Aguilar. I think you probably need to activate somebody if Bateman and Beckham are not going to be available. And I would say probably Laquan Treadwell would be the first man up. He has the most experience. He played reasonably well in the preseason, and he played reasonably well on special teams in the preseason, which is really what you're looking to fill as replacement of Wallace.
Very, very key. And he's going to get some snaps at wide receiver if he gets activated. I anticipate also that he will be. And they will probably ride that pony for 3 games, I would guess, because the Ravens really have to manage cap very closely during the season. If one of the, you know, the side effects of all these injuries is they have a significant cap cost. Every time you lose a player, you have to re-sign someone, and fill them on refill that spot on the 53. Well, generally speaking, sometimes the Ravens have gone shorthanded on that, but generally speaking, you have to get somebody to fill a substantial number of weeks there. And that ends up costing you an extra $1 million against your cap per year. It doesn't take too many of those 0.4% of caps for the year to add up to a significant amount of cap for over a period of years.
Yes.
And that very significant injury problem for the Ravens.
It is. It really is. And that's the cost of, I think, trying to contend, where you don't want to go shorthanded 1 week. You want to win every single game you can. And when you go and push a little bit harder with some void years and Odell Beckham, that almost forces you to continue pushing harder and harder, because then you don't, maybe this is one of your three shots before you have to retool a little bit, and you don't want to waste that. So then you just, and then you just keep pushing and pushing until you're in a bad situation sometimes.
All right. Maybe this is an unpopular topic, but just based on what you said, maybe we need to consider it. Is 2024 almost a rebuilding year for the Baltimore Ravens? And when I say that, it doesn't, the Ravens are good about not having total tank rebuilding type years, but it doesn't mean they're going to not have a very marginal chance to contend, low playoff expectation threshold with all the free agents they have leaving.
Yeah. Well, the other alternative is to borrow from 2025 and then 2026. And roll the can as far as you can, as we've seen some other teams do. The big question to me is, and this is, remains to be seen, but if how hard can you push and still maintain a 3 to 4 year consecutive window before you have to retool? And can you retool in one or two? What is that dynamic there? Or is it you push hard 1 year and then you're rebuilding for three or two even? That's the big question. So I personally am in favor of taking a salary cap reset season periodically, whether that's every 4 years, 5 years, 7 years. I think that does help your team maximize their postseason potential over like a decade-long period.
Okay. I mean, that's a very long-term view, and generally speaking, I think I'm long-term fans are the longest-term views of all, but I also don't want to, be headed out to football games in any season where I'm expecting a 4-12 year or a 5-11 year and no chance of a playoffs, and, be looking at cold weather and all the things that go with going to football. I mean, all that's part of the game. Don't get me wrong. And there's always a honeymoon period at the beginning of the year where every NFL team is hopeful that you kind of get by, but then you get kind of slapped in the face by what's happened here. And 2021, for example, those slaps were very hard, even though the Ravens miraculously held on to the AFC, supremacy for a while there. Wait, it's 21 or 22? That's 21. Right?
8-9, yeah. Right, with the most injured team in the history of the sport and only one game under 500.
But they were like 8-3 at right. One point and leading the AFC, and it was like it was all smoke and mirrors.
They lost the last five in a row once Lamar went down, right? Yeah. Yep.
All right. Voss, always fun to do this show with you, and I appreciate the thought experiments that you put us through here, and how our discussions go. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I am on Twitter at Vasilis Beatdown, Vasilis Beatdown. I'm co-managing editor and author for Baltimore Beatdown blog, and I have a new podcast every Thursday night live stream called Ravens Way at Ravens Way Pod.
All right. Outstanding. Give that a try, guys. And it's at Vasilis Beatdown, very Greek in terms of how it's spelled. So if you look for Vasil, you'll typically find it. So he's not a hard guy to find, and a really great follow. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. And this is how I find new people to talk football with. Thought experiments are always great. Technical episodes are great, and if you want to talk scheme or whatever else you might want to, always open for that as well. For Ken McCusick, I'm sorry, for Vasilis, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to serious commercial auto insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's going to bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here. You got to see this.
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.